and see everybody again. If you will, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. John put an article in the bulletin last night. Brother Henry wrote a long time ago, but he was just telling a story about Ebenezer Eskin. In the late 1700s, pretty popular preacher, going to a conference just like we're at tonight, or this morning. He was going to go preach in northern England. And he went by this little town, and the pastor there knew him, fellow laborers, and he said, "Will you come preach for us on Wednesday?" He said, "Sure, I'd love to." That happens a lot in our day, don't it? Ain't a whole lot changed. And he stopped there at that church, and he preached. And they're just going to have a normal Wednesday evening service. Everybody showed up, always shows up. Brother Eskin was there to preach. And boy, he just lit the room up. God blessed it. So he went on that weekend and preached, and the pastor said, "Will you come preach for us next Wednesday?" And he said, "Sure will, on the way back." So on his way back down to South England, he stopped at that same little church and preached for him. And after the service, a man came up to him and said, "Pastor," he said, "last Wednesday," he said, "I was just blessed by that message." And he said, "This Wednesday I wasn't." He's going to complain about it. And that wise, unnamed pastor, he said, "Why was you here last Wednesday?" He said, "Well, I came here just to hear from the Lord. It was a Wednesday." He said, "Why are you here this Wednesday?" He said, "I came to hear Brother Eskin." He goes, "There's your problem. There's your problem. You come to hear from the Lord, the Lord will bless it, won't he? Not from a man. That's the means he uses, but if we come to hear from the Lord, we pray he blesses it." Our Lord always had someone around him. Those times he was by himself seemed to be recorded. But all around him, on the outside, was the world. Everybody looking for something. I heard about some fishes. I'm hungry. My shoulder hurts. I want to get healed. There was some kind of temporal benefit in this life that was surrounding him. Asking for something. Wanting something. Think they deserve something. Entitlement. What's going on in our nation ain't nothing new. We like to think it is. We like to think we're special, don't we? We got it harder than anybody else has ever had it in the history of man. Nothing's changed. Inside of that circle was the religious Pharisees following our Lord. Biting, devouring, tangling him in his words, seeking him, questioning him. How? That's what they asked that blind man. How? How'd you get your sight? How? How? They didn't once ask who. Who gave you sight? How'd you get sight? And inside of that circle that always followed him was his disciples, his people, his sheep, those that he gave his life for. That shepherd gave his life for. All those people on the outskirts, that's what you read in John 9. The Lord came and spit in the dirt, made some clay, and put it in that man's eyes. Did he ask him? There wasn't a word said. As a blind man sitting on the side of the road, the Lord went up, spit in the dirt, and put it in his eye. He said, "Go wash." He went and washed. He said, "I see." Those neighbors he had that sat with him asked him, "How did you get your sight?" He said, "There was a man named Jesus." His sermon was a little longer in the beginning. As he got more experienced, it shrunk. He said, "There was a man named Jesus. He made some clay. He put it in my eye. He said, 'Go wash.' I went and washed. I followed him. I obeyed the command of God. He gave me the power to obey him. And I can see." That wasn't good enough. "Take him to the Pharisees. I ain't got a good handle. I don't understand what happened. I need an educated man to tell me. Somebody that went to the seminary. They got to sort this thing out." They took him to the Pharisees. The Pharisees said, "How? How'd you get your sight?" And then they start arguing among themselves. Biting and devouring each other until they saw that this man really did heal him. And so, "Oh, he's a sinner. Oh, he's not a sinner." That was their argument in John 9. And they said, "How could he be? How could he be a sinner if he healed this man?" "Oh, it was a Sabbath day. Oh, Moses gave us the Sabbath. We've got to love Moses." That's who they follow. And they said, "Go get his parents." The neighbor said, "Who?" That's how they approached him. The parents said, "We don't know." I'm sorry, the neighbor said, "How?" Parents said, "We don't know how this happened. We know he's blind from his birth." And those Pharisees said, "How? How? How?" And he finally whittled that message down to, "I don't know. I was blind, I see.
Amen.
That's it. Kept getting simpler, wasn't it? And then the Lord met. They kicked him out of the temple. He got run off. And when he got run off, the Lord sought him again. He come to him. He said, "You want to worship the Son of God?" He said, "Lord, who is he that may worship?" "Who? Who?" He said, "Standing right in front of you." And he bowed and he worshiped him. He bowed and he worshiped him. That's three kinds of people. Those are our neighbors. That's all around us. I passed 10,000 of them come up the road the other day. Everybody in this world. I was floating around just like them. And then I learned some doctrine. I became a Pharisee. I got to know hows. Got to learn something. Got to be right. Didn't worry about who was right. I wanted to be right. And then God did a work. I was blind that whole time. Whole time I was bouncing around. Whole time I was bouncing in religion. And then I was blind. And now I see. Each one of those three types of people, they approach the Lord in different ways, don't they? And we see all that wrapped up in one person. How do we approach a conference? We come here to see men. If y'all came to see me, you're going to be disappointed. If you come to hear me, you're going to be disappointed. I love the vessels that the Lord uses to contain His water. Clay, Rick, Norm, John, I love listening to you preach. That pleases me. But if it's you or somebody else, I love you. But I'll take whoever the Lord puts His message in. I need Him.
Amen.
I need Him. We see all these three ways of how we approach the Lord, how we approach worship, how we approach when we wake up in the morning. So all three of these wrapped up in one person. One person. Here in Matthew 15, beginning verse 21. Matthew 15, verse 21. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the coasts, the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, speaking to the disciples, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You know what happens every Sunday across this nation, across this world? We're going to worship. Oh, I want to worship God. Do you? Do you? Is that what you're there for? You're there for some help? She came, she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered her and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. This is a very popular passage to preach from throughout this nation, throughout the world, on Mother's Day. Everybody wants to preach this on Mother's Day. They said this is a persistent mother that finally got what she wanted for her daughter. She wouldn't let up until she made God cave in and bless her daughter. What folly.
That's right.
What foolishness. I want to see three ways that this woman approached the Lord in this passage. First way, she came approaching Christ with a reason for Him to help her. He was indebted to her. He ought to help her. She's entitled, isn't she? She's asking for mercy. She was calling Christ by His rightful office, but she had a reason. She had an external reason. He had to bless her. He's supposed to bless her. He says there in verse 22, And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried on him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. That sounds good, doesn't it? That sounds good. Have mercy on me, O Lord. You're the son of David. All her ducks are in a row. And there's a semicolon. There's a reason he's supposed to have mercy on her. Well, that kind of nullifies mercy, doesn't it? If you deserve mercy, that ain't mercy. That's the rocky ground. That's what this woman's claiming. That word had come to her. She'd heard about the Son of David. She'd heard something about mercy. But there wasn't no soul there for it to take root. Worthless seed. Wasted seed. There's no root to it. That's most people. They hear about a God, little g. Make him anything you want. He'll have ears. He won't hear nothing. He's going to have hands, but he's going to have your hands to do something. And you ask him anything you want. And if he don't give it, you get enough people ganged up on him in a prayer group. We can twist his arm. He'll do it. That's called a mutiny. That's what that is. He's going against God. And now, what are they? We sang songs about this. Mercedes Benz. God wants to give it. What nonsense. Foolish. Do you know who you're talking to? That's a holy God. A thrice holy God who they're approaching. But that's what religion gives us. I read some things the other day. One person was tearing up another person, correcting everything they'd ever thought in their lives. You don't raise your kids right. You ain't running your business good. You ain't eating right. You ain't doing nothing. And at the end of it, they said, God bless you. We approach God thinking we're something and He owes us. That's one way of approaching God. And what's the response to that? How does the Lord respond to that? Look here at verse 23. But He answered her not a word. 1 Samuel 3, it says, in those days the word of the Lord was precious. There was not an open vision. Nothing's changed. The word of the Lord is precious as it in its proclamation on the west coast of this country. Those candlesticks are few and far between. Precious. Precious. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. Well, this woman's bothering. And this is sincere. That's what Paul prayed there in Romans 10. They have a zeal, not after knowledge. They don't understand. But He answered and said to those disciples, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The lost. He's the shepherd of the sheep. And you know what those sheep are? Lost. Lost. Everybody wants to get saved. You don't need to get saved. You need to be lost. That's who He came for. The lost sheep. Much like that blind man. There in John 9. He said, I was blind and now I see. There's a whole mess of people around everywhere. Everybody I know, they see. Well, I got a Bible. I know God. Go out in the streets and find somebody. Say, do you hate God? Are you at enmity with God? Are you enemies? Are you ungodly? Well, I ain't that bad. Everybody knows God. Everybody likes Jesus, don't they? Find me somebody that's blind. Find me somebody that's lost. Find me somebody that is sin. Not they've committed some sins, plural. That's what they are. And I got good news for them. I got good news for them. Find me one of those. If you got some of your own, I can't help you. If you're only blind in one eye, I ain't got no good news for you. Much like that Pharisee and the publican. Yeah. Turn over there to Luke 18. A few pages of Luke 18. This lady came to the Lord indebting Him. There's a reason for mercy. He owed her. We hear about this Pharisee and the publican in Luke 18. Beginning in verse 9. You can mark your spot there. We'll come back in a little bit. Luke 18:9. And He spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood. He stood. And he prayed thus with himself. God, I thank Thee that I am not like other men are. That sounds good so far, doesn't it? Words seem right. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this old publican sitting over here. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. That Pharisee saw a reason the Lord should deal with him. He had done something. We are not to come to Christ on anything we have done. Or that we have in our possession. In our race, face, or grace. When the Lord's blessed me. The Lord's been merciful to me, a sinner. Given me life. I don't come to him boastfully and demanding of things. I always use that example, my mother. I go into her house. That was my mother. Nothing's going to change that. Half my DNA comes from her. And I don't just kick over the garbage can and flip the lamps over and put my feet up on the table and say, make me a sandwich. No, I come in there honoring her, doesn't I? Loving her, fearing her. That's how that Pharisee approached the Lord there in the temple. Back in our text there, Matthew 15. Second way this woman approached the Lord, she came to him needing some help. Says she worshiped, she came to where Christ was, she used that right titles, but she wanted help. She was still able to do part of the work. She was still able to do something, but just needed a little extra nudge. She could muster some faith on her own. She could do some works. She could pray. I can do that. I can pray. I can believe partly on my own. I just need a co-pilot. I can still fly this plane. I need somebody to help. Look here in verse 25. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Help me. We do have a need of him. We do have a need of him. Scriptures say he is our help in time of trouble. He's our help in time of need. But that help he has, that's an all-encompassing help. It's not help like we think. That's being saved to the uttermost.
Amen.
Uttermost. To him have to do everything for you. That's our help. There's a difference between saved and help in our vocabulary in these modern days. You've saved somebody, they didn't do nothing to contribute. There's no bragging rights to it. If you help somebody, they got a leg to stand on. Don't they? The Hebrew writer said, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. How do we come to God? Fully, completely in Christ. That's the only way we can approach him. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Ever living. God on his throne making intercession for his people. That don't sound like a little bit of help, does it? Sounds like he's got to do everything for his people. At this point now, this Syrophoenician woman, she isn't mentioning her personal troubles no more, is it? What happened to her daughter? Come here, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter's got some trouble. Now she's saying, Lord, help me. My daughter's out of the picture. Her worldly concerns and starting to go away. She has a partial need for herself. That's the thorny ground, isn't it? That seed's been cast on it. Some roots grow. It shoots up. Now it's starting to look pretty good. It's starting to look like a plant. There's going to be some fruit out of this. And then the thorns of this world consume it. Choke it out. Take it away. What's that world? I. That your wife and your children and your family and your job and alcohol, drugs, tobacco, whatever. Is it something else? Could be, yeah, but it's I. That's the problem.
That's right.
That's my primary problem. Go read Psalm 140. I woke up yesterday morning thinking about that. Read that and read it as if you were on a deserted island and ain't nobody there. Lord, protect me from this evil man. That ain't my boss when I don't like him. That ain't my wife when we're fighting. That ain't my kids when they don't listen. That's right here. Right here. There in verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. To dogs. I don't have to. And my faithful pastor told me one time, you don't have to scream the gospel for it to be a fit. In the sight of God, you're a dog. People drive all over this country, have license plates that says God loves you. Outside of Christ, God hates you.
That's right.
I can whisper that to somebody. God has to make that powerful. I can tell you the truth. He has to make you believe it. He has to give you ears to hear and a heart to believe it. Lord God Almighty told this woman, you're a dog. You're a Gentile dog. That don't mean much to me and you nowadays, but being a Gentile is a pretty bad thing. She's a Gentile dog. Are you a dog? Or do you have some worth? Do you have some reason that God's supposed to be indebted to you? Do you have a leg you can stand on? You just need some help? Or are you just a dead dog sinner? What's the third way we approach the Lord? For some cause they owe us something? Some leg we can stand on in our own power, our own ability? Or thirdly, in humble submission and in truth. Look here in verse 27. And she said, "Truth, Lord." Notice that T is capital. Is that capitalized in your Bible? Capital T, truth. What's she come declaring to the Lord? Christ! Why are you here? What right do you have to be in glory? Christ! What right do you have to have mercy? Christ! What right do you have to be in the presence of a holy God? Christ. Truth. She said, "Truth, Lord, you're telling the truth. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." That's the good ground. That's the good ground. That seed went into that heart and it grew, and right there is fruit coming out of it. Fruit declaring the Lord Jesus Christ. I read through the parable of the four types of ground, four types of hearers. And you know, I've plowed a little bit of ground before. I've grew some plants and watched some fruit grow, planted some trees. And on my property, do you know wherever Stony Path is? Right where I want it, where it's convenient for me and it pleases me. Do you know where all the weeds are grown up that I haven't weed-eated yet? Where I ain't wanted to weed-eat yet. Do you know where the good ground is? Where I plow it. I take the rocks out. I take the weeds out. I make it just the way I want it. And every time I see a weed, I go and I pluck it. Ground didn't do that by itself. Who plows the ground that's in the heart of a sinner? God Almighty does.
Amen.
If it's stony, He was pleased to leave it stony. If there's thorns growing up and choking it out, it pleased Him to let those grow. It honored Him, the husband. And if it's good ground, well plowed, no stones, no weeds, that's because it pleased Him. And it honors Him, doesn't it? What's the result of all that? That's what I'm saying, the true submission. I read an article this morning as a French lady. Back in 2017, she went to the doctor and they pulled up her shot record and they said, "Well, this is kind of weird. You're dead." And she said, "Huh, must be a glitch in the system, you know." Well, then she went to travel and they pulled her passport and said, "No, this passport won't scan. You're dead. You don't exist. You're gone." And she said, "Well, now maybe somebody stole my identity." And then she went to the bank. She's a little tiny local bank, been banking there 27 years. She had a business. She knows them. She knows them. When I had a business, I got to know the people at the bank real well. You're there all the time. And they said, "Honey," they said, "you don't exist. Government's come down, it's you're dead, and that's what hit the bank account. You got to give us your checkbook. You ain't got no money. It's gone. You're dead." Everything she went to go get a driver's license. "You're dead. You're dead." And for the last 3.5 years, she's been trying to prove to everybody around her that she's dead, or she's alive, that she ain't dead. Bailiffs come to the house for her husband 2 years after. And they say, "Well, it's statute of limitations or whatever." After 2 years they're in the French government, they give you a death certificate. So that way he can transfer the house over in just his name and the cars or whatever. And she's the only one at home, and she's the one that signed the paper for her death certificate so her husband could switch everything over. Oh, she's fighting. She's fighting so hard to prove she's alive. She ain't a figment of somebody's imagination. I read that story and I started bawling. This morning on the back porch. Every person born of Adam is trying their best to prove they're alive. I ain't dead. I ain't dead. Look, I read a Bible every day. I ain't dead. I said prayers. I ain't dead. I gave to homeless children. I ain't dead. If I was that woman, you know what I'd do? Her husband lives. I quit. You got to pay taxes. "Well, I don't owe you no taxes. I'm dead to your taxes." You got to file these reports. "I don't got to file no reports. I'm dead, remember?" "Well, how are you going to get food?" "My husband lives."
Amen.
"He's alive. He'll handle everything for me." That's a good place to be, isn't it? I'm just an old dead dog. Right then you got everything. All the worries are took away. That's precious, isn't it? What's the result of the Lord doing a work like that in a sinner? Look here in verse 28. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Great is thy faith. Only one other time the Lord said, oh, what great faith. It was that centurion, wasn't it? What did that centurion do? That's a captain. He's over 100 people. And today's military is pretty powerful man. He's got some respect. He said, Lord, don't even come to my house. I don't even want to look you in the eye. You just say it. You will it. It's done. My servant will be made whole. What great faith. What great faith. Turn back to Luke 18 real quick. Luke 18, verse 13. And the publican, the Pharisee, just prayed all to himself and about himself and cause of himself, his power, his rights. Here's that publican. Verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast. What was he hitting right where the problem was? Right in the heart. That's where my problem is. Saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner, a dead dog sinner. God be merciful to me. Our Lord says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For the one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know that servant's not above their master. You know that? Turn over to Psalm 51. Our Savior, He humbled Himself. He was humbled. Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according to unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against Thee, and Thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightst be justified when Thou speakest, and clear when Thou judgest. That's our Lord speaking. Is that humble? He became a man and bore on His shoulder this government, and bore our sin on His shoulders, and bore those sheep. That man, that shepherd went to go get the sheep and put it on his shoulders. Didn't put it underneath his arm. Didn't say, come on. Put it on his shoulders and bore it, didn't he? He bore our sin as His own. What humbleness. What an obedient, faithful servant to His Father and to His people. What a great husband to His bride. What a great husband to His bride. Thanks be to God that we're made one with Christ. Everything that was required of me, every mercy I must beg for, every forgiveness I must beg for, every prayer I must pray, Christ fulfilled it. Amen. What's required of me, whatever is required, I don't know what I don't know. Whatever it is, Christ fulfilled it for me. I found this beautiful too. There in 2 Corinthians 5 says, For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You don't hear nobody arguing over what righteousness is, do you? Why are you righteous? I've told this before. I said that word sin there, the offense, the fatal flaw, that's a noun. It's not a verb. That's a noun. You know what I am? I'm a noun. He was made me. And I was reading on that again this morning, and I'd missed something. That's a feminine noun. A feminine noun. You know what that was? His bride. His gomer. That's what He was made. Is that humble? That's how He approached the Father. Why? Because that's how I had to approach the Father. You're His. That's how you had to approach the Father, and He completed it for us. Unfathomable, isn't it? How do I know if I'm his sheep, if I'm that bride? What if I approach Christ in the wrong way? Now, this woman, she came to him, didn't she? How'd she come to him? He drew her. That's how we come to the Lord, isn't it? He draws his sheep to him. Turn over to John 6, and I'll let you go. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 37. Here's a promise. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me I should lose none, but raise them up at the last day. They shall come to him, and shall be drawn to him. We're going to experience this. There's going to be some changes. There are a lot of times, even in my life now, I feel like the Lord's silent. He didn't answer me. Didn't he? You know what the problem is? I think I deserve an answer. I'm the problem every time. That's where the problem lies. And then there's times I think I can, well, I got a pretty good handle on this. Lord, will you help me? Don't feel like he's helped me none. Trial comes. You know what the best thing that ever happened to that Syrophoenician woman? Her daughter was vexed with the devil. That don't make sense to natural man, does it? What's the best thing that could happen to one of you parents? One of your children completely lose their mind. Well, that don't make sense to us, does it? Well, for her it was. That's exactly what the Lord sent. The trial he sent, and it accomplished exactly what he sent it for. To bring her humbled before the Lord. And he said, oh, great is thy faith. What great faith. Where'd you get that? He gave it to me.
Amen.
We come humbly looking to Christ. We conduct our daily living humbly looking to Christ. I pray I can preach humbly preaching him. And that just dogs could come get crumbs. Isn't it? That's what that one man said. That he said, I may be a dog, but I'm the Lord's dog. He's my master. That's a good place to be. Amen. Thank you, Brother Joel.